Yes, good evening, everyone. So welcome back. Being closer, sometimes today is the first day we open, and because of the COVID, and also, and then I think most of you know reason it's happening with the protests because of the incidents happen, and this is not the first time, isn't it? You know, a police kill, you know, someone, you know, and this had been happening in the past. Why in the past is never, I mean, not like this time, it's almost like, you know, it's affect many countries, and even other countries have the protest. Even in Australia, they have this, you know, that the protest for racism and things like this. And why only now that it becomes like a such a, you know, almost like globally happening, this protest happening? Actually, this incident is just a trigger. The issue is already there. And it's the most basic Buddhist teaching. Things happen according to multiple causes and conditions. Things happen is not out of nothing, you know. And this incident is just a trigger because of other conditions, other causes. For example, because of the COVID and people losing job and people, you know, lots of fear and lots of emotion, you know. And that's adds up. It's just building up, you know. It's just building up, you know. All this unresolved emotion, lots of fear, you know. And that's it. And people have lots of uncertainties, and people feel like, I don't know what happened to my future, you know. And all these emotions, that's negative emotion being building up. And that's why it just need someone, it's just like a bomb is there. You just only need someone to lead that, isn't it? So when you lead that, it's, you know, that's happening. And this is sometimes like all these emotions building up, you know. And sometimes we think that, you know, we would not do certain things. I would not kill someone, you know. The condition is not there. That's why you wouldn't do it, isn't it? As long as our underlying tendency is there, given the condition, you know, when we have built up, you know, that moment, just people just, you know, just been insane, you know, that moment it built up, you know, it's been building up, it's been boiling, you know. It's just, you just need that trigger, and you just explode, the whole thing will explode. And this is the condition. So everything, things happen according to the most basic Buddhist teaching, conditionality, you know, is condition, you know, the dependence arising, you know. And sometimes we think that we got to solve a problem, you know. Sometimes we solve one problem, we lead to another problem, isn't it? Sometimes we think that we solve another problem, and then that dependence arising, another problem arising. I remember the other day I read from this Gigi Graham. It's really funny, interesting. And then this is a joke. Once upon a time, the government had a vast scrap of a yard in the middle of the desert. Congress said someone may steal from it at night. So they created a night watchman position and hired a person for the job. Then Congress said, how does the watchman do his job without instruction? So they created a planning department and hired two people, one person to write the instructions and one person to do time studies. Then Congress said, how will we know the night watchman is doing his tasks correctly? So they created quality control departments, hired two people, one to do the studies and one to write the reports. Then the Congress said, how are those people going to get paid? So they created a timekeeper and a payroll officer position, then hired two people. Then the Congress said, who will be accountable for all these people? So they created an administrative section and hired three people, an administrative officer, assistant administrative officer, and a legal secretary. Then Congress said, we have had this command in operation for 1 year and we are 18,000 over budget. We must cut back overall cost. So they lay off the night watchman. So at the end, go through all these, you know. And sometimes, truly, you know, that sometimes, like, you know, some of the things that you truly sometimes people ask me, I say some of the things truly have no solution. Lots of things in life, there's no solution. Sometimes we just have to live with it. I remember this recently because of our kitchen, we have the shelf, you know, a bit unstable. It's a bit shaky. So then Nan said that you have to secure that. So we asked our handyman to secure the shelf, you know, because they're afraid that the box that we put will topple over, you know, will hit someone's head. So I asked our handyman to look at it. He said, oh, you have to secure the shelf, you know. You have to have a bracket, you know. Then you have to drill, you know, a hole, you know. You have to onto the wall, you know, so that you secure it. Then I told this handyman, I said, you can't drill the wall because our wall we clear with sandstone. Because when you drill, it's crack. I said, don't touch the wall. So he said, oh, why not we secure it on the floor, we drill the floor. I said, you can't touch the floor. Because I said the floor, we have done this waterproof. We have treated the floor. Because we have vinyl. I said, because once you think that just a little few holes, I said that little few holes will damage the whole floor. You know, sometimes things, it seems like nothing, it's just a few holes. I said, no. I said, if you drew the floor, and then you got the cracks, you know, then the water will seep in, you know, because it's really damp underneath, you know. That's why we have to do the waterproof. We have to treat the floor, and then it's quite expensive to do that, you know, thousands of dollars to treat the kitchen floor and to do the waterproof. I said, once you do that, it's got cracked, and then we have to spend thousands of dollars to replace our floor. You know, then I said, sometimes it's not an easy solution. Then I told him that, why not? We have the other side of wall. I said, that one you can put a bracket. So hope then. Actually, I give him the solution. Initially, I asked him for solution, and I ended up I have to tell him what to do, you know. Sometimes a lot of things, because I think part of my position, part of my role, because a lot of things, I have to always keep a bigger picture in mind. I can't just look at one thing. Everything, you know, like whoever come to me, I said yes to one person, I have to say yes to everyone. I have to be very careful with the decision I make. Everything, each time, you know, I have to look at the bigger picture. I can't just, you know, look at one thing. And sometimes, you know, you can't solve, you know, sometimes there's no solution. You know, that is part of life, you know. And sometimes that there is a dependence origination. And these things arises. And because of sometimes we solve one problem, we think that, you know, we create another problem and go on and on and on. And like this one, if I just leave it to him, and he will damage the floor. And then, especially we already moved in, especially we can't use the kitchen. Just imagine, you know. It's just very chaotic. It's just, you know, just a mess, you know. This is sometimes it's important that whatever it's good that we keep the peaceful and calm mind, you know. Sometimes we can only deal with the situation as things happen. When things happen, you know, we just look at it. How can we resolve the problem? We do our best. If we can solve it, fine. I like one of the quotes from Dalai Lama. He said that, you know, if there is a problem you can solve, then it's no worries, you know. You don't have to worry because you can solve it. But if the problem that you cannot solve, so why worry, you know. So, why worry, you know, since you can't solve it, you know, there is no solution at all. So that if there's no solution, there is not a problem because you have nothing, you can't solve it, you know, that's part of life. And today I like to talk about this, the Buddha's teaching of the dependence origination, the conditioning, the conditionality, that because we have this, that's why we have that. You know, this arises That's right, this exists. When this cease and that cease, we have this, that's right, we have that. It's depending. So nothing happened out of nothing. And I remember someone said to me, they said to me, oh, because of the COVID, and the monastery had to close, then the nuns must be very free. So I look at her, I said, we are not free, you know. I said, we still, you know, we still have to clean, we still have to, you know, we have, still have to maintenance. We have a big property, 600 acres, you know. We still have things to do, maintenance. And then I remember someone had made a comment, said, oh, the monastery toilet is all clean. I can even sleep in your toilet. So I said, who cleaned that? It's not happened by itself, isn't it? Nothing happened by itself. You know, that is, you know, someone had to do it, you know. So that's why sometimes, like, they said, things happen actually, multiple causes and conditions. Sometimes we have to look at the problem. Sometimes most people, the first thing they will blame, whose fault, who do that, isn't it? Then you will never resolve your problem in life. You never see why you suffer. Because we don't understand. Because of ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean that we are stupid. Because we don't see the truth. We don't see that is the truth. This is part of the nature of life. We don't understand life. That's like when we don't understand life, we suffer. We don't understand the Four Noble Truths. When we said that we understand the Four Noble Truths, when we talk about understanding suffering, doesn't mean that we have to suffer. Because we don't understand suffering, we suffer. So if you know that this causes a suffering, we don't suffer, we suffer less, isn't it? We lessen our suffering. It's not that a lot of people think that, oh, terrible. I know someone told me that I really don't like this Four Noble Truth. The Buddha talk about the suffering. I find it so depressing, you know. Like, for the person, that person understanding, as if that we have to suffer because of the Four Noble Truth. No. Because we don't understand the Four Noble Truths. We don't understand life. This is part of life, being the birth, you know. Why we suffer? Because of birth. Because we are here. When we have the body, we will get sick. We will grow old. We die. Isn't it? And then that is because we have this body, why we are sick. You know, we are sick because we have this body. Because we've been born. This part of life, you know. What do we expect? But if we expect otherwise, we suffer. So this most basic Buddhist teaching, the dependence origination, we have this 12 link. It's that because of the ignorant. The ignorant is the first link. Ignorant is not that we are stupid, because we don't understand. We don't understand the truth. We don't see the truth. You know, and the first link is the ignorant, and then leads to volitions, our action, you know, our karmic activities, our action, our karma, our karmic formation, that because of wholesome and unwholesome activities that we committed, you know, and that give rise to the consciousness, rebirth consciousness. So ignorance is a condition for our karmic formation. So the karmic formation is the condition for rebirth, for the consciousness rebirth. The rebirth takes place. So at the moment of conception, conception, that's birth takes place. Just because of the birth takes place, you know, rebirth consciousness replace rebirth, you know, takes place. And that's why we have this body and mind. Is the body and mind is the condition for our sixth sense. Our senses are sixth sense. You know, eye, ear, you know, we hear, you know. And because of we having this sixth sense base, and the sixth sense base is the condition for contact. Because we would not have contact, isn't it, if we don't have our sixth sense base. We have to have contact in order to have this sixth sense space. So sixth sense space becomes the condition for our contact. So then our contact will become the condition for our feelings. Without context, because feelings give rise to, when context give rise to feelings. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feelings. But we normally get stuck in when it is unpleasant and pleasant. Neutral feelings is when neutral is just equanimous. And most people feel bored when you're being equanimous, because actually equanimous itself, neutral feeling itself actually is pleasant. But because it's very subtle, and most people, most of us, our mind is not refined enough to be experienced that because it's very subtle, because the mind is not refined enough to experience that the actually neutral feeling itself is pleasant. So because, and then these feelings give is the condition for craving. We crave, you know, we want, isn't it? So we craving to be, craving not to be. When it is pleasant feelings, we want more. You know, we think that this is good. And then we try to control, we try to manufacture, we try to make it happen. But pleasant feelings comes and go. Unpleasant feelings also come and go. And when it is unpleasant, and pleasant is craving not to be. And we try to get rid of it. The more you try to get rid of it, it comes more, isn't it? Sometimes, for example, sometimes you have unwholesome thoughts. Sometimes you try to suppress, you know, you try to push it away. The harder you push, the worse, isn't it? It gets more and more intense, you know, because when you try to push it away, actually you're putting in more energy, you're feeding it. So craving to be and craving not to be is still crave, because it's come from the desire, the craving. And the craving actually is the condition for that we clinging to, the attachment. Attachment, because in most translation, they translate as upatthana, as attachment. Actually, it's much more like a fuel. We give nutrient. You know, you feed it. When we feed it, it grows. You know, it grows. And then because of this attachment, so it gives rise to birth again. And because of birth, we have this old age, sickness, old age and death again, and the link and go on and on and on. And the reason why we get locked into the link and go on, it's just like the Buddha's mentioned, that life is just like you threw a bucket into a well, that's ups and downs. You know, you sometimes we experience happiness, sometimes we experience, you know, suffering, you know, not, we always have ups and downs. And then sometimes we hit the wall and you go round and round. This is life, you know. Just recently someone said to me, you know, I've been talking to my mother, you know, whenever my mother happy, you know, sometimes she's happy, you know, then I'm happy, you know, when she's happy. And then sometimes she's so depressed and she's a problem, and then I'm also not happy because she's that happy. Then I look at her and I said, no one in this world, they're always happy all the time, isn't it? Ups and down. I said, it's okay. When she's happy, you rejoice. And she's not happy, it's fine. Not to get affected. I said, even though because of our attachment, if someone has happened to someone else, it doesn't bother you because of she's your mother. You think that you can control her happiness? I said, you can't. I said, this is where we have to learn to let go. I said, you can't solve your parents' problem. You can't solve your mother's problem. But I said, you can always care for her. You can always care. This is something we can do. Like, for example, people come to me for counseling. To be honest, I can't solve everybody's problems because I know that, you know, that sometimes they need to resolve their own problem in life, you know. But at least I'm here for, I'm here for them. At least I'm here to care. At least I'm here to give them encouragement, to give them moral support. And sometimes this is what people need, you know. And not to try to solve everybody's problem. I said, you create more suffering for yourself. Because you're searching for things that do not exist at all. You cannot solve everybody's problem. You can't even solve your own problem. You know, you think that you can solve everybody's problem, but you can always be there for your mom. You can always be there for her, and you can always care. You know, this part of life, but we can't see the truth. That's why we are here. You know, that's why we get sucked in. We get, you know, we bound by all these, you know, likes and dislikes, you know. And then this, actually, we adding on more, because we don't see that things come and go. If we understand that things come and go, even pleasant feelings is not going to stay. Unpleasant feelings is not going to stay. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, isn't it, whether it's pleasant feelings or unpleasant feelings. But we got affected, isn't it? And we got sucked in. And especially we thinking about it, you know, get upset about it, and that go on and on, you know. And that drains a lot of mental energy. And that leads to worries and leads to a lot of fear, this negative emotion. And that's really draining. And because of this draining, and that's why it's the use of lots of mental energy. And that's why it leads to depression. You feel depressed. Someone recently come to me that she'd been dragged by her parents to come and talk to me. And actually, she didn't want to come to talk to me, but she'd been forced, you know. Her parents dragged her, you know. She come to me, and I asked her, what's the problem? And she said, oh, because I'm depressed. So I told her that, you know, you don't look upon depression as a problem. If you think that it's a problem, it's become a problem. I said, there's many reasons. Because sometimes when you think too much, when you worry a lot, you think a lot, you know, you worry too much because it drains you and you use up lots of mental energy. When your mental energy is low, when you have low energy, so you easily feel that easily leads to depression. So you don't look upon it as a problem and you don't make it a problem not to worry about that, you know. So, but her problem is much more on her parents impose their ideas onto her. Like, you have to do this. This is good for you. And they think what is good for her, you know. And that causes... And then she always being so rebellious. The mother asked her, no. She said that I'll not be able... Sometimes some of the things that she said that actually I enjoy doing it. But the moment she being forced to do it, she no longer be able to enjoy doing that. You know, and this is sometimes like, you know, I've seen, you know, some parents that think that the children having problem, but they don't see that the problem actually come from the parents, you know. You know, that's like the children problem, you know, those problem children, because they have problem parents, you know, they don't see that. There's another child, 10 years old, and suddenly he refused to talk. And then that he don't refuse to talk, and the parents talking to see the psychologist, and then of course the psych always want to speak to the parents because they have to know what happened, and then because of he decided not to talk because the mother, each time he talked, the mother like to snap at him. And this is the reason why, because the mother is always the one, whenever he talk, he's always snap. And he decided, no, I'm not going to talk anymore. So then, actually, the parents can't see that actually this problem is come from, the mother can't see that it's actually come from her. And she's the one leading up to this. She's the one contribute towards that. That's why sometimes we don't see that some of the problems that actually we ourselves contributed towards that. We created that problem ourselves because we're unable to see the truth. We're unable to see... Where's the problem? Where is the dependence arising? We are unable to see that, you know. That's why I remember one of the teaching that Venpa Sariputta gave to one of the laymen. It's a monk, another monk. So he asked him. He said this. He said the sixth sense base is a bondage for the object, you know, either mental object or the object that we see, we hear, we touch. Is it the bondage for the object, or the object the bondage for the sixth sense base? You know, is it that we're bound by the things that we see, the things that we hear, or the things that bound by our six sense base. So then then Sari Buddha gave him a similar, he said, your question is just like you're asking, there is a black ox and a white ox. So what bind this black ox and white ox together? The yoke, isn't it? That bind together. You know, when you, the yoke is between the two oxes, you know. You have this, you know, the bind together, the white and the black ox, you know. And this is the things that bind together. So this bind together is that craving. So when there is a contact, there is an object. This is the sixth sense base. When we hear something, we see something, you know, when we see an object or we hear or we touch, you know, and that object and sixth sense base, when they have the contact, what arises within this is a craving, it's a desire, and this bind that together. But we can't see that, we can't see what is arising in this moment. To be able to see that, you have to develop your wisdom. Because of when we say ignorant, because it's not that we are stupid, because we can't see the truth. So it's like, in order to see, to be able to see the truth, we have to develop wisdom. We have to develop the clarity to see what arises within this moment. Like when we see something, what comes up in our mind? Do we have aversion towards that? Do we have negativity towards that? Do we have anger towards that? How we relate to the situation? How we relate to the person? How we relate to this object? This is what happening arises when the context happen, and what comes up in this moment. And this happened very quick. There's such a traveling, the reverse take place only in one single moment. It's very quick. You know, contacts and then feelings, and then it's immediately the craving is there, you know, that we already cling on, you know, and it's happened very quick. You know, they said to develop the clarity. How to develop the clarity? So we try to apply practice present moment awareness in daily life. It's important. Bring the mind back to present moment awareness, being aware or what's happening right now. What comes up in this moment? Because normally we can't see what comes up. Immediately we always think that outside is a problem. Because of, like for example, someone being nasty to us. Oh, because I'm angry because of this person nasty to me. So my problem is come from this person because this person is terrible. This person being nasty to me. But we can't see that. What arises within this moment, then when we hear something, you know, and then we never solve our problem because we keep thinking that our suffering is come from the other person, or our happiness is come from the other person. Only if I have the person, only if I have these things, I'd be happy. You know, I can tell you, when we crave for something, the moment we get it, that's it, isn't it? We look for something else. If we don't stop our craving, we keep looking for something else, isn't it? So the happiness only when we anticipating getting the things, isn't it? The moment we get what we want, that's it, isn't it? And then it never end. So the only ending is to stop that craving, to stop that. But that is so subtle, it's very difficult to see that, to see what arising in this moment. So that's what the Buddha said, you know, those who see the dharmas, who see the dependence arising, you'll be able to see what, because it's so subtle, how to see that? You know, that's what you have to train your mind, you have to develop your mind, practice present moment awareness, you know, and meditate. And make your mind, you know, when your mind is very peaceful and calm, you'll be able to see what's happening, you know. When things happen, you'll be able to stay peaceful and calm to resolve the problem. That's like, some people used to come to me and say, "Oh, I can't decide for myself. You know, I'm really confused. You know, I can't make the decision." And then they try, they think that they come to me, I can help them. They throw the ball to me. They think that I can help them to make decision. You know. Then I throw the ball back to them. I said, "This is your problem. You have to solve it yourself, you know. This is your problem, you know. I can't make decision for you. You have to make your own decision." Because it's easy, the truth, you know, to not to take responsibility. Someone else look after, you know, someone else just tell me what to do. I said, I tell people, I said, if you're confused, don't try to make any decision. I said, all you need to do, go and find a place that is quiet and peaceful and make your mind as peaceful as you can. Then when you become peaceful and you become calm, you know, your mind, then you naturally know what to do. I said, when you're confused, don't try to make any decision. I said, if you try to make any decision when you're confused, it's not going to work. So I said, this is all you need to do. I said, I can't make any decision for you. This is your life. You have to live your own life. You have to solve your problem. You have to develop your own wisdom to solve your own problem. I said, I can only maybe give you advice, but I can't really, you know, I can only help you to that extent. I said, I can't help you more than that. To give you the support, give you the encouragement, you know, to give you advice, but you have to do it yourself, you know. I can't practice for others. You have to practice yourself. You have to develop your wisdom. So that's why the Buddha taught for the four foundations. It's not the four foundations of mindfulness. The four foundations the Buddha mentioned is the foundation of wisdom. You have the wisdom. Because how to develop the wisdom? So you have to develop clarity. Because we have no clarity, we are unable to see. To develop the clarity, we are able to see the truth. The truth is that things come and go. Things won't stay. You see the truth that's non-self. Because we whatever we experience, you know, when the body, we take it to be me, and mind, we try to control, we try to make sure that we don't get, you know, we try to not to get sick, you know, so that we don't grow also, so that we don't grow. The best that not to die, but that's not realistic, it's not going to happen. Even many people keep saying, oh yeah, you know, we are going to die. But how many of us truly that we think that we're going to die? Isn't it? Even though we keep saying that, yeah, you know, yeah, we're going to die, you know. But, you know, but still not many people be able to accept that I'm going to die. Isn't it? You think that it will happen, but, you know. I mean, in theory, we all accepted that. We all said, yeah, you know, yeah, we're going to die. But I can guarantee you, not many of us, the moment, you know, can really think that one day I will die. Isn't it? We still think that it's very far away. We still think that we have the wishful thinking that it might not happen. But even though, yeah, in theory it's one thing. We understand, you know, one thing. But to really have the deep understanding of it, a life, that is another thing. That is a wisdom. Wisdom cannot be taught. You have to develop your own wisdom through develop clarity. So you see the truth. You see that everything, when thing arises and pass away, when you see the truth, actually, the more you see that, to me, from my own experience, the more I see that, actually, I feel that there's such a freedom. I feel free because anyway, I can't control, you know. That's life, you know. So I don't have to worry about how to try to control things. I to try to make things the way I want it. At last, free. At last, I know that I cannot control. Actually, the more I see that a lot of things I cannot control, I just let people be. That's why when people come and ask me, "Oh, how do you train your nuns?" I said, "I don't train them. They train themselves." I said, they want to do this, fine, they do it. Because sometimes you can't tell them. You know, sometimes
people, you have to let people go through the process. You have to let the person hit the wall a few more times, then they know that it hurts. So it's no point that you keep telling them, people won't listen. I remember last time one of the visitors, you know, she said to me, so she asked for my advice, and after that, she told me that I'm not convinced. So I said, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, go ahead and do it, and you experience yourself. You learn it, you know, you learn the hard way. You know, they hit the wall a few times, they know that it hurts, you know, then they learn. So I said, this is how, actually, you learn to, when you see that, you learn to let go a lot. Because you know that, what are the things you can do, what are the things you can't. That is, you know, the things that we can do, the things that we can't. We be able to see that we have our own limitation. Some of the things that we have a limitation we can't do. But if we don't see that, you know, we create lots of suffering ourselves. And we hold on to things. Then we learn to let go more and more. The more you let go, you become peaceful, isn't it? Whenever something bothering you, the moment you let go, how do you feel? It's very nice. It's like you feel free, you know. You relax, you know. That's like, this is only when you see the truth, when only you see that this is not going to work. You see that you have, if you be able to see our limitation, you be able to see that it's part of life. We don't try to, the more you try to control, you suffer more. You know, that it's come from the sense of self. So we take it to be me and mine. We take all the experiences in my experience, my feelings, and this is me and this is mine. Then we try to control. But it's, life is out of control. Basically, we can't control life. Sometimes, if you become more receptive, you know, we just happen, okay, this is what's happening. You know, just accept, just recognize, acknowledge, accept, forgive, and just let it be. So letting go is letting things be. And sometimes we try to control so much, and that's why it causes more suffering. The more you control, and you're making it worse, and rather than understand life, you know, and not some, that's why it's important that we understand our problem, we understand our life. Don't try to solve a problem. But try to understand a problem. Try to see. Try to look at the cause. What is the causes? You know, try to look at that, you know, rather than, you know, to look at who to blame. That's because we always think that our suffering has come from outside. You know, then we try to change our condition. We try to change everything outside. But you can never solve the problem because our problem is not there. We are unable to see what comes out in this moment, what arises within this moment, be unable to see that. That is where we've been, that is the our bondage, that is the, we bound by what is arising within this moment. And that is not easy to see, but it's possible. So that's why, in summary, that if you truly want to resolve a problem in life, and we understand the mind is a conditioned thing. So, when the condition is there, things happen. So, the only thing, things don't happen when the condition is not there. So, the only thing that, the cessation, when the condition is not there. So, when the condition is not there, so the dependence is not arising. So, when the dependence, when the condition is there, dependence arising, cause and effect. So, that's why we have to look at the cause. What causes are suffering? What leading up to this, you know, to rather to look back into us, and is it that we do, sometimes it's that we have to ask ourselves, do I contribute towards that? Am I part of that? Sometimes we are unable to see that actually we're part of that. Sometimes we create the suffering ourselves. Of course, I think some people, you know, that is this easy way that is we hope to have miracles, you know, and miracles happen, you know, and maybe sometimes I know someone come to me, they go to the, when they're having difficulties in life, they want to look for a fortune teller. So they ask me, you know, this fortune teller, many people book her, and I, you know, and that's very good. I said, normally the fortune teller, that tell you about your past is truly, is accurate, that tell you what happened in your past. I asked her, do you need to pay someone to tell you your past? You know what's happening, isn't it? I said, but somehow people have the wishful thinking, you know, that, you know, somehow, you know, I do something or do some prayer, you know, then it changed my life, you know. It's not going to happen. It's just a wishful thinking. You can wish to have miracles, you know. And I remember that talk about miracles. I remember my mother-in-law, when she had the fall many years ago, and after that, she can't walk. And she cannot walk. And because of she fear of you know, to get another fall again. And then it's come from her mentor. You know, mentally she believed that she didn't want to walk. Basically, then she can't walk. But we know that it's all her mentor part. Then my son was very good. He encouraged her and help her. He got a walking frame for her and encouraged her. No, you can do it. And you know, then actually, eventually, she can walk. You know, that's why it's no miracles. Some of those, you know, some is just mental. They can't walk, you know. That's why sometimes when you arouse the faith, you believe that you can walk, and then they can walk. Then miracles happen. Then there's all miracles. But actually, it's just mentally, because she don't want to walk, she afraid of have another fall again. And then after that, we try to encourage her, and then she can walk again, and then just like normal. She for a while she can't walk. She said she been you know, she can't walk for a little while, and then we encourage her, and then she walk again. So they say sometimes that we truly, you know, sometimes that people try to, you know, thinking of is a shortcut, you know. I don't have to do anything. Maybe someone help me do some prayer, do something, and then I can recover. I can solve my problem. But ultimately, we have to solve our own problem in life. We have to develop our own wisdom. So to see the truth, to see the causes, what leading up to our suffering, where is the suffering coming from, and be able to see. That's why the Buddha said, those who see the Dharma, who see dependent arises. So we develop our mind, train our mind, develop the clarity to be able to see dependent arising. So if you be able to see dependent arising, you will lessen your suffering, and you also free yourself. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? Okay, how we change the minds of our parents who have racial bias. Sometimes don't try to change them. I think it's easier just to accept the way they are. It's difficult to change. That's why, but we make sure that our next generation, how we condition them. They've been conditioned. And we just have learned to accept them as they are. And actually, you know, because you can't change them. So my brother went to Philippines to get married, but gets a brain damage. How do I console my mom? She's very depressed. This is a difficult one, because I mean, you can, you know, you try to console someone, but it's difficult. The hurts, you know, and. It's very difficult, and I think all you need to do is just to be there for her, and to really give her moral support. And I think one thing you can really do, a lot of people don't see that we try to, that actually, that we ourselves to be try to be as peaceful as possible. Because sometimes when the person depressed and the person is sad, sometimes if someone sit with them, it's peaceful, actually it does help. It does help to calm the person down. That is something we can give. We can't really, you know, to try to tell them not to depress. The more you say even worse. I think just being there for her, care for her, and just sit quietly. Just give her the peace. Because when you are peaceful, actually the other person can feel. And they enjoy the peacefulness. You know, that they feel the peace, you know, the calm. Actually, it's important that something we can give. You know, just be peaceful and sit quietly. We have people come to me and say, oh, you know, they have problem, and then they ask me for Dharma books, you know. I want to give my son to read because their son commits suicide, and then they try to, you know, to give him Dharma books. I said, please, this is not the time to give him Dharma books to read all this, you know. I said, all you need to do, I said, you make yourself peaceful. As peaceful as you can. I said, because if you worry, you know, about that, and then actually you make him feel terrible, you make him feel guilty. But you make yourself, you know, as peaceful as you can, then you know, you offer your peace to her. That is much better. That's why, just to be there for the person and offer the peace to them. That we can do, but to ask the person not to get upset, not to grieve is impossible, you know, and that's something we can offer. We can always stay for the person, care for the person, care for them, and offer our peace. So that's like, if we want to help someone, first of all, we have to help ourselves first. So we make our mind peaceful as we can, and to sit there, we offer the peace to that person. Actually, the person can feel our peace. When someone peaceful, you feel the difference, isn't it? When someone agitated, angry, you feel the vibration, you feel that you feel uncomfortable, you feel unpleasant. If someone very angry, isn't it? You can feel that. If someone very peaceful, calm. And also it affects your, because the energy is there, it affects you as well. You feel also peaceful and calm. And then this is something you can offer, peace and calm. How do we stop thinking other people trying to trouble me or hurt me? So because this is good that we reflect on karma. So because we reflect on that we are not responsible for someone's action. Because if we keep thinking of how this person hurts us, you know, and then we look at it, we turn around, you know, to develop this positive attitude. You say, wow, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice forgiveness. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice kindness and compassion. That is much better, you know. So I'm so grateful. And actually, you can keep, the Buddha said you will keep doing that. Actually, this is how we brainwash ourselves, we condition ourselves, you know. Actually, after a long period of time, naturally, you always look at something that is, you know, the positive side of things when things happen. Like, for example, recently, we have problem with our water tank because we don't have town water. We rely on the rain, so we collect rainwater, and then but one of our tanks is a leak, so we have to empty our whole tank. So we try to empty our tank to another tank. Then I said, oh, how lucky we are, how fortunate we are. It's happened now, you know. It's not happened in summer. At least now, you know. Then we still can collect water, you know. And it's always like they, for example, if someone been nasty to you, you know, so like been nasty to you, then sometimes you say, wow, isn't it? This person, at least this person, honest to the extent. You know, you get what you see. Rather someone being so nice, so sweet to you, and then they stab your back. You know, some people can be very nice to you, isn't it? Then they stab your back. You know, some people, yes, they're being nasty, but at least the person not covering up. the person at least honest to the extent, and you get what you see. You know, this is always, I always think that, but then I always feel better, much better. You know, I always, and sometimes people have very short temper, you know, they get angry very easily, but they very quickly they come and go. Then I say, oh, at least this person, they get angry fast, then they stop angry very fast also, you know. Then I look at it that way, then I feel okay. So that's why it's good that we have to train our mind, we have to develop our mind, we have to condition our mind that way. And naturally, we always look at the good side of things. Then you suffer less. Because no point you go on and on thinking about how bad the person is. And then the more you think about it, the more you get upset, isn't it? More angry, and then, you know, next time you see that person, you're getting more and more angry. Your anger become more and more intense. And then you suffer more. So that's why it's to develop this attitude. It takes time. So you have to keep doing it again and again. Try to bring your mind focus on something. That's why the Buddha said, wise reflection. You reflect on things that is positive. You reflect on things that is wholesome. It's okay. Even though you do that, next time you still see that person, you still get upset with that person, it's okay. But you keep doing that. So you have to condition our mind. You have to develop the habits. So when you condition your mind, it becomes like your nature. Just like your second nature, you naturally, you know, you naturally would, you see the best in others, you naturally will see the good side of things, you naturally have that positive attitude. So I hope this answered the question. Any more questions or comments? Any more questions or comments? No? So everybody happy, satisfied customers. So satisfied customers. So that me end meditation. So any more questions or comment? Going, gone. Okay. So thank you for listening.